podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Full Time Devils podcast. I am Adam Okola. Today I am joined by Stephen Allison, Andy Tate, and the one and only million dollar Anthony Crawler, who was late today. I don't even know why I called him million dollar.
Apologies, my timekeeping shocking, but yes.
I had a bonnet hanging off my car. All sorts going on, and I made it on time.
Mate, I was celebrating the result last night. Anyway.
You weren't on time anyway.
But if he was late, so it made me look like I was on time.
We'll give you that.
So cheers, Ant, for that, actually. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us. You boys.
We're obviously on the back of Manchester United 2, Spurs 1. Ollie giving Jose a little ruffle. What did you make of that? Do you think
no,
he did that on purpose as a sign of,
if he did it was brilliant, but no way it's it was just, listen, I think it was nice to see, wasn't it? I don't really see things different, but I think it was nice, sort of the support that Ollie had last night for me was unbelievable. I think, you know, listen, no matter what you say, you've got to respect the man as a manager, and I think Ollie obviously does, you know what I mean? Mm. But as funny as like the little ruffle of the head was, I don't think,
because Jose's usually very good at that stuff, isn't it?
You know, yeah,
he always puts his hand behind Pep Guardiola's head. He's kind of like the godfather in people, and yeah. I think that was a great move by Ollie, just like a little.
Should I tell you what happened then?
Well, you've got an insight. Apparently, so from someone's famous son.
Yeah, I just got a text a second ago. And he said, all the pre-match stuff, Mourinho was trying to like squeeze Ollie's hand and stuff. He's been a bit of a dick. Joe, about like really trying to have a firm handshake.
Like Donald Trump.
I've never met Donald really Trump.
No, you see him in those videos, just pull someone in when he gives them a handshake.
So Ollie supposedly said to the players, when we beat this guy, I'm going to pat him on the head. So it was pre-planned. And the players knew, apparently.
Pre-planned pat.
Yeah, and he's just absolutely had his pants down.
Well, we've seen there was a little bit that obviously the fans generally gave Mourinho a good applause as he walked out, and then after that it was pretty much forgotten, and everyone got behind Ollie, like, we don't care about the man that's gone, we're behind this man now,
which as it should be.
I love to see. What does that change anything for Ollie now?
I think it makes it well easier. If he'd have lost back to back against Spurs and City, the noise for getting rid of him would have been deafening. Being against Spurs, because it's Mourinho, because it is a better football team on paper, at least, that he's got, and we still manage. He's doing it against the bigger games. If he now goes and gets 3 points against City, which is a hard task to do, but let's say he does, I think he's definitely safe to the end of the season on the back of that. I think there's still danger for him. I don't think it's a certainty, but I think if he gets another 3 points there at weekend, and then I think we go, is it Everton, Altmar, is it Bournemouth after that?
Colchester in Watford, between. That could be one.
You could get a bit of a roll on there.
Now, obviously the fans show Mourinho some respect, but we saw like Rash's brother post a little dig towards Mourinho with that image of him after Rashford missed that chance. Rashford was on fire last night. He has been recently. Do you think there was a little bit of resentment in the camp towards him still, or do you think, because he did shake everyone's hand, do you think there's a respect there, or
I don't know,
grudgingly respect maybe, some of them who were still there won't forget what the trouble he caused, maybe same 3-4 players, like me, you know, probably.
Do you know what we heard before, me and old Shinyhead in the corner over there? Jose got wind of the team. Jose got wind of the team on Tuesday, and the Jose was the one that was putting the Marshall was out stuff. Who's leaked Jose the team? So there's a thought that Ollie might have been playing Axel on a back three.
I reckon it rhymes with Static.
Yeah, you might be right. And supposedly we was going to play a back three, but once that got leaked, he's changed it to a back four. I don't know if that's true. But that was the word we got this morning, wasn't it? So,
off who? How is Jay getting words? What's all this?
You can figure it out if you think where we was this morning.
I don't know where you's.
Don't worry about it then.
I talked to Ant.
Right, Greg's.
Ant, what have you made of Ollie's position as manager? Obviously, he's a hero to everyone.
Yeah, of course he is. And
but do we disregard that? Or does that give him?
It's hard, isn't it? I remember when he got used after naming your little boy Ollie. Won't you? I'll go now. One of the two. Yeah. But you didn't think
Dogs
he was. Yo, that if you had a little boy, yeah. But yeah, listen. You can't help but love the man and what it means to him. It's horrible to you think sometimes you've seen some of the interviews post match, and he wants it more than most of those players. You think, you know, just going off them, but you have got to be sensible. Listen, we've got to see. It's I hate even saying it. You always back your manager. For me, like, I just believe it. You back your manager, so someone makes a decision.
Do you have a gut
that
feeling
he's
got
to
on
go.
Him?
But listen, it's. On paper, is he out of his depth? Yeah, without a doubt, on paper. But you don't. Ollie had to get that job. You know, after the start that he had, there was no way we couldn't. We all wanted him, and I just believe me. I think we give it to the end of the season, no matter what. And I know there's all this talk about Poch and stuff like that. And it's gonna be every time we have a bad result, it's gonna come back up. And I think that's why last night was so important. Weekend's gonna be tough. We can't deny that, but. The support that he got last night, it was nice to see. It was really nice to see, and I think that's what we do.
I think that would have sent a message to the board as well. And I think
possibly,
I think there were times where the crowd maybe kept Jose in a job.
I remember it was after Liverpool. Jose went on it. I remember being at Anfield that day and in bad day. But I knew, you sort of just knew everyone who'd backed him, it had sort of turned. Mm. It had turned that day at Anfield. I mean, so you don't like going there and getting turned over the way we did anytime. But you sort of knew that was it. I mean, listen, the fans play a big part in it. But we've always said there was definitely...
Because there were times, was it when we lost against Spurs and he stood in front of the crowd just like... He never really had that at Chelsea or any other clubs where if you look Real Madrid... You make a sideways pass or a backwards pass and you're getting whistled. Do you know what I mean? You mentioned give it Ollie to the end of the season. With that being said, Andy, do you agree?
Give it Ollie to
the end of the season?
He got a goal to the end of the season now. Like I say, I said last night, they're cheating themselves. If they can keep this performance level and the commitment they've shown last night and that carries on through to for the rest of the season, you've got to give him at least that. And the players know that as well. And I want to see this on Saturday as well. All right, it's a tough task going there, but out of the previous derbies, some of the players who've played never turned up.
Now, in your fan cam, you said that the players are kind of cheating themselves and cheating the fans because they don't perform like it's every game. Now, just to play on the other side, is it easier to say that than to say, actually, this is what we should expect from a team that has a lot of inconsistency? Or... can we not afford it at all? Like, do you get me? Because it's a lot. Rashford, for example, the biggest example. He's had this season alone ups and downs, but overall he's been pretty good. So, is there inconsistency expected with this team?
I can accept some games inconsistency, but not when you're away to Bournemouth, away to Newcastle, West Ham. You're expected to at least get something, and you're not turning up. Like for 70 minutes against Sheffield United, like I say, I'll say it again, did nothing. Then all of a sudden, you get around, a couple of substitutions. Wow, where did that come from? And unfortunately, last minute equaliser, that's the Premier League for you, isn't it? But mistakes, yeah. But if you're doing it constantly, and you can afford a few games inconsistency. That's expected, but not every single away game. We've only turned up once this season away at Norwich. But you said, basically, Norwich, let us play.
Yeah.
But that's... how much of what we've seen when we've got our noses in front, like, I think you have to give Ollie the credit for changing it against Sheffield United.
Yeah.
How much of it...
did he not change it too late, though? And is that not... a fair complaint towards
we got our nose in front.
It takes a long time to make these changes.
Bad one with Sheffield United.
But we got our nose in front. He changed the game with substitutions and tactics. At what point is it him and is it mistakes by individual players? I think that's where we go, get rid of that manager. Well, that manager's not going to change Lindelof missing an header. Do you know what I mean? Or some of the things that happen within a game. That's why I hate seeing get rid of this manager, because blah, 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 blah. The only time I said, I think Jose's probably got to go now, is after that Liverpool game Ant was on about before. Because it looked to me that that team didn't give a fuck about that guy. And because they already like wiped their hands of him, you know he can't get it back. With Solskjaer, I see a team that wants to play for him. I see a team that wants to react to him. The fact that we are good in the big games tells me that they're responsive to his tactics and the way he wants to play. But we're not quite having the quality.
On the flip side, that could say that they only get up for that game and they're actually not playing for him. On the flip side.
I disagree. But I mean, you could, but I disagree.
And I think I'm just asking. In
the smaller games, the teams that sit back and don't play against us, I think that's where we lack that quality. The reason why you see the likes of City going on rolls and Liverpool going on rolls is because they've got quality that will break any team down. And we don't have the quality that will break any team down. And I think we're doing better in the bigger games because we've got certain attributes that we can play to. And I think we've got decent tactics. Tactics aren't really going to matter when you come up against a team that just completely shuts you off. That's when it comes down to the creativity and the freedom of the players and their ingenuity and their ability on a ball. Paul Scholes going to fizz this into the right spot with the right weight on it just inside the box and someone's going to hit it. That isn't a tactic. That's an ability of a player, and we don't have that. We're bottom of the league, 20th for through balls. That should tell you enough alone that we're reliant on players doing a moment of magic, and we don't have enough of that magic within the squad. And if you upgraded that alone, I mean, I'm seeing people pulling out Ollie's stats compared to David Moyes and stuff like that, but you got to remember David Moyes was pissing with a big fat dick, and that's the difference.
Not anymore though, is that Everton? It's like a little shrivelly one.
And he's, you know, he had Robin Van Persie and Wayne Rooney and Kagawa and Giggs and Rio and Vinic and Evra. That can't be compared to what we're playing with today.
Do you think the players are playing for the manager, or do you think that's a phrase that is thrown around too often and doesn't?
Probably is for around too often when any club goes in crisis.
Or you lose a game.
He's lost the change room. This and that. The players don't want to play for him. But no, I think I am. And we'll stay on that. I do think they want to play for him. Ole, you can't. I'm saying it as if I don't know, but you can't help but seeing what it means to him and think, nah, Manchester United, a huge football club, what he's achieved, and it hurts him that we're not playing the way we should. So I think, it does. I think they do get it. I don't know what the excuse is for some of the performances. We all have off days, but I definitely believe they still want to play for him, without a doubt. And I think he gets it right down from the kids.
From
right
your perspective, as a boxer, obviously boxing is an individual sport. It can be a very lonely sport.
But your team's
important. You have people in your corner, you have cornermen, coaches. Have you ever had changed up coach and just learned something different and it's just clicked, like, you know?
Early on in my career when I changed.
Like, how important is the message that you're receiving, or the way you're receiving it?
It's definitely, that's what it is. It's delivering the message. And I think some coaches who are very good in the gym, they might not be the best sort of cornermen. And some people who aren't the best in the gym don't put in the effort. They get the point very cross. They get the point across very well in the 60 seconds or less that they've got to get it across. And that's so important. I think what makes a good coach is someone who can do both. And that's it. That's what I'm saying. There's people who are brilliant in the gym. You might have someone, there's some coaches who are better than others at pads, you know, being padmen, but they can't read a fight as well as another coach who's not as good on the pads. So
that's, I think you saying that is kind of, we made this, like, people just say, look at the results and be like, oh, this guy, Ali out and all this, like, is tarnishing his legacy. But when you actually look at it, even if he fails as a manager, which is very possible, he still have done very good things. And I think there are things he's doing behind the scenes. Like you say, you can be good at pads and not in your corner. I think he is actually rejigging the culture at the club and changing things around so that the next manager will benefit from that.
Yeah, I do agree on that. And he's laying the foundations for the future, sowing the seeds. But if we do back him, we don't back him, it's entirely up to the people upstairs. But whoever, if, say, he goes at the end of the season and we're in a healthy position and somebody else takes over, they've got to carry on. They can't rip this up and start their own agenda. That's not on. So then we're back to square one again.
Do you think it's realistic when people say he should have a different position at the club?
No. I think it's the most batshit crazy thing.
That I know, you want to take a demotion?
It's not just that. The only way I've heard that it's a good thing is where it protects his legacy. But let's be honest, no one gives a fuck about that. People sack managers left, right and centre. No,
and as a manager, he doesn't really have a legacy.
Right. When people say, make him a director of football, okay, what qualifications has he got for director of football? And then people go, what qualifications has he got for being a coach? Well, he still actually managed to go and win, I think it's 3 titles and 2 back-to-back.
Youth team is well deserved.
And he did a bit of them, right? But he did it. It's still managing a squad of people and managing to get the best out of them. He took Molde, right? And it might only be the Norwegian League, and that is not the Premier League, but he's still proven something, and that's that he can manage a squad to win back-to-back titles with a team that's never won it. That's not like taking over the champions of Europe and then winning
would
a league.
It'd probably be like Steven Gerrard winning the league with Rangers and moving to Liverpool.
Yeah, it's a step up.
Yeah.
But it is a proving ground. It has proven you can do something. Can you now do it with a step up? Now, it's still going to require time. It's still going to require this, that and other. But a director of football is as different to being a football manager as being a player is. They're totally different roles. A director of football is essentially an agent who works for one club. That's what they are. They probably got a little bit more of a vision. They've probably got a little bit more administrative roles in terms of trying to appoint a philosophy to a club. But realistically, a good director of football is going to be someone like a Mitchell, someone like a Monchi, someone like a Bertra, a guy that's got a shit ton of contacts, relationships. Because I think like being an agent and being a director of football is about relationships. If you know people, then you can call in favours. And you can go, I'm good mates with the guy at Juventus. So I'm going to be like, listen, I need to get this player over the line. Do us a favour and you can have the pick of some of our academy players next year. How about that? Because you've maybe had a relationship with them in the past. The reason why Ed Woodward took so long to get his foot through the door and get some deals over the line is because he was walking in with the attitude of, this is Manchester United, they'll just do business with me. Fuck you. Who are you?
And he don't know anyone.
Yeah, and he ain't got any contacts. And David Gill knew the game, knew the system. And that's the whole idea of this. Being a director of football is so different to being a manager. And they go, well, Ollie identified some good signings. Did he, though? Or was it the whole team?
Yeah, they
team?
Were pretty obvious.
Was it the scouting network, James, the analysis network? Ollie's rubber stamped them, and our negotiation team got it over.
Did you need to scout Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Harry Maguire?
You didn't.
So you all knew they were going
to
be.
It's madness to suggest that because he made 3 good that signings. That he's a director of football.
If we got one, it'd just be a title for someone. And they're doing nothing. They're just appearing in front of the camera. That's what it'll still be like if they appointed.
I'd love it if we got.
I don't believe he's got any duties.
You don't think that Woodward would actually delegate to them?
No, I don't think he would.
Mate, would you? If you had the keys to United, you'd be footy manager time, wouldn't you?
Would you share the power?
I'm going to do my coach.
I want what's best for United. I want what's best for United. You know.
He probably wants what's best. He just doesn't realise how shit he is.
Yeah. Pretty bad, I suppose. Anything else has come to mind from the game? We worried about the derby. You worried about the derby?
Yeah, we've got to be honest. It's going to be a tough ask on Saturday. I'm a worried, mate. I'm working for the Joshua Ruiz fight.
Oh, yeah. We're sorry.
Obviously, I'll be watching the boys, but it's... there's no denying it's going to be tough. Of course, I'm worried. I'm always worried. Every derby, Liverpool game.
Has that Spurs game made you think?
It's bragging rights.
Oh, something could
it's
be.
It's given us a bit of hope. You know, we turn up the same team. Then, yeah, you're dead right. I believe we can get a result if we turn up like last night. But I think any United fan, when they say you're worried about the derby, they say, you know, they're lying because it's bragging rights. It's that, you know, the Liverpool games, that straight away I'm just thinking. I get nervous walking into the ground. I do for a lot of games, but that, them two especially, it's like, oh.
If we beat them though as well,
of course,
the title really is over.
I say, man, they had one job, didn't they, say, to stop Liverpool winning the league for a few years. But, you know, the only good thing, I think, if they do win the league, like you say, whether there's a chance Pep goes or whatever, do you know what I mean? I don't know what it's become... For me, and it's just being honest, when you're wanting City to win in October, to stop Liverpool winning the league. It's a bad sign, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? And that's what it is.
They only won the league under rule changes. Like, the bad pass rule came in, stopped them winning it. Now they've had to bring VAR in. And I tell you what, is it just me or do they seem to be getting an outrageous
last night?
Oliver McBurney's goal gets disallowed against Liverpool.
No, I thought the penalty last night, Van Dijk with... You must have seen it. It was ridiculous. Might have been, yeah. Oh,
it was definitely Abdullah tweeted it, and I seen it. It was a horrible challenge. Yeah. It was definite penalty. How that doesn't get given, even with VAR.
Yeah,
it's better the devil, you know, because if City win the title 3 in a row, equaled Liverpool win the title, the one behind us. So I'm sitting on the fence. I'm sticking with Leicester.
In Brendan Rodgers, we trust. Yeah.
Come on, Brendan.
If Leicester can win it, City can still win it because they're only 3 points behind.
If Leicester win it, Brendan Rodgers will have the biggest smirk all the way up.
He'll be giving
side.
The keys to the City.
Look, if Leicester win it, I'll wear a Leicester shirt every day next year.
Naked, balls out.
Yeah, why not? Probably balls, isn't it?
That'd be a good one. Wonder what lookalike will pop out if Leicester win the league again. Remember that Vardy lookalike, that really annoying guy.
Get a Brendan Rodgers lookalike.
Oh yeah,
there's got to be one out there. Everyone's got a doppelganger.
You need to go to Tantastic and get your teeth whitened first, haven't you? Have you got any lookalikes? Anyone making a living off?
I doubt it, mate.
Do you see what Dave Gorman did, where he applied to be his own lookalike?
Yeah, that was sick. That was.
I
love Dave Gorman.
I think you should do it.
I seen him last.
I've not seen it. Let's see it.
So basically what he did was he wrote into an agency that looks after lookalikes.
He got rejected from a couple
as well. With a picture of himself and said, I look like Dave Gorman. But it was Dave Gorman, so you should take a picture of yourself and be like, I look like Ant Crawler. Can I do some lookalike work for him?
And just see what the response is.
When they book you, you just rock up. Good work, you know what I mean? It's not bad, innit?
Everyone's got a double.
How is things now that your boxing career... Me? I say your boxing career is not over. You're
signing on, yeah.
Signing on, yeah. Signing my CV out today now in a few of the shots.
River Island, JD Sports. Just the standard ones.
No, but I mean, honestly, I've been mad busy. Been with the coaching, with bits of punditry, with starting to work with the kids who sort of are at risk of exclusion from school, so I've been mad busy, and then obviously I'm looking forward to the fight. I'm working again weekend for the big fight.
You got
not
a prediction
over in Saudi,
for us.
But
that exclusion thing, is that a mentoring thing?
It's, do you know what? No, it's not. It's not a mentoring thing. It can lead to that, but
I just had
a
phone call about it this morning.
Kids, you know when, like, but that's how people.
I'm doing a speaking
in
school next week, because that's a bit weird.
You want me to talk to them about being in the army? And I'm like, they don't want to know that. Like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah, you'll probably get flashbacks. Start strangling someone. What are you about?
Off camera.
Flashbacks about Iraq.
I don't worry about it.
Who do you think is going to win? Yes. Joshua Ruiz.
Listen, right, I'm not sitting on the fence because.
But you are.
I'm going for. Listen, Joshua inside the first 4 or 5 rounds. If he's not done it, so that's my prediction. So I'm not sitting on the fence. However. If he's not, I think it'll be the same result as last time. My worry is, Joshua, as you see, he's lost quite a bit of muscle as he was going for speed. But I think he's got to be so much more, he was over there, a lot more dominant. I think last time he stood off Ruiz far too much. And you think, you know, a shorter guy, keep him at range. But I think, back to the ring.
It was a weird day in Madison
Square.
You
back Ruiz up, yeah. And I think, like, for me, Anthony Joshua's strength, you've got to remember...
You think he underestimated him? Because we saw when who was he going to fight, and then Taka.
The smaller fighter was difficult.
And
then
Ruiz
come in, late change.
But
I think he did, because letting him hold his belts and stuff like that. You wouldn't do that with someone you really fought was a threat, would you?
So clever. I don't know if you've seen yesterday. Ruiz, my disciples. Yeah, he had the New York Knicks vest on. For the head, to head yesterday. And so I went, nah, that's really clever. He's not a New York Knicks fan. He looks at him and thinks, no, the last time I seen you, you was wearing that and you took my title. Yeah. So he's very clever. But I just believe that what I was saying is, so seeing him losing the weight, my worry is that he's looking to box for 12 rounds. And Anthony Joshua's strength isn't boxing. He's not got the boxing IQ of a Tyson Fury to box on the back foot to outthink fighters.
Do you think he's quite basic? And I don't mean that to sound an insult, but he's like, he's fundamental, isn't it?
But that's when you look at his best fights, Klitschko.
But his best punch is a 1-2.
He had that hunger.
It's a 1-2 because the right hand's a piston.
I feel when he's got the money, he's almost looked to protect rather than destroy.
Yeah,
and I think now that he's got to fight for his titles back,
he's got to have that hunger where it's like, now I'm going to punch through you, I'm going to smash down walls. So, and I think that's the attitude he's got to have, in my opinion. Yeah, it's risky in heavyweight boxing. And someone will say, I said it to someone, they went, well, if you got stopped off someone, would you have that attitude to? And it is, it's hard, because Ruiz is, and this is one other thing, quickly, I've said it time and time again, it wasn't that much of a shock.
Look how different he is when he talks about boxing. No, he wakes up, I love that.
It wasn't that much of a shock where physically you look at them both and yeah, like, Joshua and Adonis, Ruiz looks like he's just come out the pub, and you know,
like the little kid off
Up, right? But when you start breaking it down, he'd gone to the Olympics a few times.
Did you see the footwork drills he was doing?
Yeah, he looks
he's
so
fucking
fast,
rapid.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people. I didn't think he was going to beat AJ, so I'm not going to pretend I knew he was. Otherwise, I would have backed it at 30-1 or whatever it was.
Yeah,
but if people that saw the Parker fight knew it wasn't going to be an easy fight.
And listen, because he probably beat Parker. He should have got the decision in power. It was in New Zealand, and AJ didn't have the easiest night. I know styles make fights, but still, and like I said, he went to the Olympics. I know AJ got Olympic gold, and as much as we all love AJ, you know, he very easily could have gone out the first round to the Cuban. Do you know? So it's just Andy Joshua to win, to get a world silver medal, to get an Olympic gold medal in the short space he did. There used to be a lad who I used to train in the amateurs. 18 months before he got that world silver medal, he was fighting him in the under-10s national novice final. Do you know what I mean? Losing by a few points. So for him to go the way he did in such a short space of time, but he's still inexperienced. Andy Joshua is still inexperienced.
Yeah, and his
that's what makes the story even more unbelievable.
Well, he gets criticised for his CV and docking Tyson
opponents
Fury
Wilder, and his opponents are in such a short space of time. 10. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I like AJ, and I've worked with him a few times, and he's a good, like, you want him to do well.
Yeah, of course.
You see him and you think, oh, nah, he's a knobhead. It's like he's genuinely
YouTube
a good
boxing,
person.
YouTube boxing, talk to me.
What's that?
YouTube boxing, talk to me.
It's
getting it, man.
Do you know what? Jesus, the money's there, isn't it? No, do you know one of my mates put it, Liam Smith put it, and he put, listen, do you know what? Have you fight, make a shitload of money, and then don't start talking about other professional. Just go away. Just go away. If you want to.
Would you have fought on the undercard? Money aside, would you have wanted to
fight on
the
undercard? I'll be honest.
Would you feel disrespected?
To? No, that's just the way the world's gone now with social media. Whether we like it or not, that's the way the world's gone. Like with influence and stuff like that. I wouldn't have felt disrespected. But it is crazy when you're seeing world-class fighters, people who've...
Billy Joe, Devin Haney.
Fighting on the undercard of two
it's crazy,
two YouTubers. It's mad.
Devin Haney's the future.
It's mad, but yeah, it's brilliant. Haney's unbelievable, but he's... and he's fighting on the undercard of KSI Logan Paul, but it's... It's crazy, but do you know, that's just sort of the way the world's
going. I would have seen those videos of KSI, like, just putting his mic in girls' chests and...
Yeah.
Motorboating people. And then thinking, he's going to be on... The top, like, I don't really like what they do, and I don't really like them, but I've got to take my hat off to it.
Unbelievable
you've got to respect
business.
The hustle.
Unbelievable businessmen, no matter what you say. I remember when they was fighting at the arena, the amount of phone calls and messages I got off people. Can you get tickets for the KSI Logan? And I was going, I have no idea who's putting it on or anything like that. I can't, I'm sorry, I have no idea.
Were you surprised that he hadn't got involved? Guess not.
Was I? It's business. His business, and no matter what, Eddie said it. Eddie's a businessman, and all of the promoters are businessmen. And he said it.
It was a big fight.
They'd love to be promoting it. They'd love to be promoting
it. There's been white collar boxing for years, hasn't there? Where
but
and celebrities.
I got a free ticket. True Jordy sorted me a ticket out because Jaden wanted to go, so I took him.
Yeah.
And I went, I'm going to
see
what this is about.
Someone wanted to go. Yeah.
Badu Jack was in there.
Yeah.
About three seats away from
me. It's crazy.
Jimmy Manor was on the other side of us.
Yeah. Tommy Robinson was about, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I was debating fucking cleaning his head off
as
well.
How many people would have knew who Jimmy Manor was when they should? Where they're unbelievable fighters, Badu Jack. Like, we'd all be going, I want a picture with you. But like the kids, yeah, do you know what I mean?
You remember his cut,
mate? Yeah. Oh, that was horrendous. That was after it, wasn't it?
No, yeah,
it was before it, the first.
Well, the first one, yeah. The first fight. But like you say, Jimmy Manoir and that, like, brilliant, brilliant fighters, guys who you know you think, yeah, respect him.
And some widge on a skateboard comes by and you fucking, it's and everyone mad. Goes mental.
It's like us. So was I with you when we were walking around with Lou Macari? Oh, and, like, people came up to me for a picture and it's like Lou Macari, right
legend,
there, you
yeah.
idiot. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no,
it happens in a hotel football. It's nightly.
Yeah.
You see how many people mooching around.
We have got a little commercial deal this week. It's ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN, I've used this before. So this, like, basically, I was on a holiday and I can't remember what I wanted to watch, but it was on ITV player. And I needed this to change the region.
Celebrity
juice. Yeah.
celebrity juice, wasn't it?
It wasn't celebrity juice. Keith Lemon hasn't been funny since he was Avid
How
Merrill.
Dare you?
Since Bowl Select Day, he hasn't been funny.
Yeah, I get you that.
Yeah, you're right. Agree.
Yeah, okay, go on.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Got time for getting Kelly Brook and everything.
ExpressVPN. Yeah. Whether you're a supporter of Red Devils or whoever else, the easiest place to watch all English Premier League action this season is with ExpressVPN. It allows you to access EPL streams from around the world, completely legal, of course, for a fraction of the price it would normally cost. Here's how it works: use ExpressVPN to buy an 11 sports account. ExpressVPN lets you spoof your location so you can appear like you're in Taiwan and purchase your account for just over £2 a month. I'm allowed to read this out.
Cool.
So if you live in...
See, I was backed away from
if you
there.
Live in...
It's like getting out of that show.
Yeah, just get out while you can. If you live in where you live and you can't always watch team name, I'm supposed to insert things, I don't know. You can use ExpressVPN to stream. Or if, like... You want to watch Family Guy on ITV2 when you're in, I don't know,
Turkey,
another country.
Want to watch Netflix on all day? Boom.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing I should have said. Everyone's got Netflix. If you want to use Amazon Prime abroad,
or Sky Go. If you've got your Sky Go and you want to watch a match on a legit legal stream that you've already,
but
paid
you're
for,
abroad and it says you're abroad.
Yeah.
Then get ExpressVPN,
which is probably still illegal.
Protect your online activity today. Yours needs protecting. Find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/extra. ExpressVPN.com/extra. This is just repeating itself now. 3 months free with a year package. Cheers. Are you going to get on that, Ant? He is indeed.
Read the small print.
Ant, you're a hero around these parts. What? You've got a massive link between Manchester United and obviously your boxing career because of the way. Especially the away support, kind of were attracted to you and followed you. And I remember a lot of games. One was Watford, I think, definitely,
away.
Where everyone
it
left
was Baltic,
the game,
wasn't it?
And immediately went straight to your fight.
Yes, it was.
Do you know
Watford.
What I mean?
Yes,
like,
yeah, when I was fighting.
There was that sort of culture around it. And,
yeah.
You know, bosses going to your fights and
of
stuff.
Of course.
How important has the United fan base been?
No, mate, honestly, it's meant everything. I wouldn't have been the fighter that I was without that. And I'm not just saying that I wouldn't. I've wouldn't have, you know, I don't believe Eddie would have come back to the Manchester Arena time and time again without that. Like you said then, I think it was Watford, 12 o'clock kickoff. I either won my title that day or defended it. And the other one was Norwich. So there was two treks and there's two early kickoffs.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it means a lot. And like you've seen it sometimes when it sounds like a United away end before I'd come out, and it's nice. It's humbling, do you know what I mean? It is very, and I know, listen, some of the boys, I probably don't know where they are, and they're just singing United songs.
Yeah. You hear it all the time.
That's just being honest.
Probably.
I'm just,
probably.
But it still means a lot that they paid for a ticket to come and watch. Your intentions was there.
Your last fight was after a match as well, wasn't it?
Yes, Bournemouth away.
Yeah.
So yeah, pick them all right. I think the only one, there's one where, well, there's been loads, but I mean, I know when we had a good performance at Leicester, when we smashed Leicester early on in the season one time.
4-1, and then we had, we were fighting at the arena.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you've had some good
but
times.
No, it means good, like they make an all
I
day
I was at that
it.
Fight, actually, because I remember going to the game and then going to the fight.
They make a day of it, and like people tell me, oh, do you know, everyone's talking about the fight tonight and that, I'm in the hotel or whatever it does. It means
because people
lot.
Don't realise how, obviously, one of my friends is a professional fighter, and he's just coming up, and people don't realise, like, unless you're AJ or you're Deontay Wilder or Canelo, you're usually scooting around selling tickets.
I say it time and time again.
And they don't realise that part of the sport.
A lot of fighters, young fighters, I say it to them, you know, if you ever ask for any advice, I say, listen, for the first 2 years of your career, be prepared to lose money. It costs you to be a professional boxer, as crazy as that sounds, unless you have, there's a few you get brilliant sponsors, unless like Olympians you can live off, but there's a lot of fighters out there who can't just live off the wage of being a professional fighter. So be prepared to, you know, it's going to cost you money. And we see so many fighters walk away because they think, I can't, you know.
Talented lads.
And my mates, I can't either, take my missus out, or I can never do anything with my mates when it's downtime or... And it's, yeah, talented lads, because they just think, I'm doing all this. And you, when you start breaking it down, it's a lot of fighters have got to sell tickets to cover their opponent, put a bit back in the promoter's pot. And listen, that's right, because otherwise they're going to lose if they've not got television before they take away. There's been so many times when I've seen fighters fight for nothing.
Yeah.
So many times they've had to cover the fighters.
Or people have said they're going to take tickets, haven't taken tickets.
Yeah, and that's why.
That's coming out of my pocket.
Exactly. They've got to sell X amount of tickets before they can even think about taking a penny on themselves.
I know Terry Flanagan. Like, he's from Ancoats, like me. And he's a champ, and he still lives in Ancoats.
His
family's brilliant.
Of course, he's done well. I know the family and that. Like, say, Terry will say, early on, Terry was a scaffolder. He wouldn't have been able to just survive on his wage.
Yeah.
He's one of the success stories out there.
When's that change? Kind of like TV and pay-per-view.
What's that?
World title level, isn't it, when it changes?
TV, yeah. TV certainly, when you're with a promoter, like, not everyone can be with an Eddie Earn, a Frank Warren, or, you know, a promoter that's on television. So,
and even when you are,
still,
like my
boys
with Frank Warren,
yes,
he doesn't get the attention, like, unless, and I say this in a way, like, you had a lot of headlines around you, and maybe some promoters don't come back to you if you don't have those headlines. God, do you know what I mean? That's how ruthless the sport
is. It's a business. It is ruthless, and that's what you've got to sort of accept. You're a piece of meat. You've got to know that, and then you've got to be the same with the promoter, where, do you know, I'm sort of use you as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And listen, you can have a friendship, but like you say, I think me and Eddie, you know, we get on well, have the crack and stuff like that. But we both know it's a business as well, and that's what you've got to do. That's what you've got to do.
Defo. And thanks for coming in today. We are doing more content with Ant as well. We're going to go meet another boxing hero as well and do some little content, which will be up on the channel. Head of the Derby. You can probably already guess by saying all of that. Steve, thanks for coming on. Who's your Wally of the Week this week?
Custis.
Is he moaning about not being on The Athletic again?
What was he going on about the other day? Oh, no, he was trying to get on Amazon. And was tweeting Amazon going, don't know how to work this.
It's a freaking
Wally.
Wally of the Week?
I will go with Amazon Delivery Service because they ordered a dot, an Echo dot, and they try to charge me a fiver when they promised free posts, so I said, stick it. So that's,
Amazon, if you were thinking about sponsoring us, pay some taxes, and maybe you can. And who's your...
Wally of the Week?
Yeah, do you know what Wally
probably,
of the Week is?
I'm guessing you guessed. I've guessed, but probably the same it is every other week, my little brother. He is just a massive pain in the ass, and
I feel there's another 45 minutes in this story?
Oh, no,
there's so
the
many.
Best Wally of the week.
Put the kettle on.
Yeah, my little brother. Hey, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
you're a fucking dick.
Thanks, Steve, for sort of words out of my mouth.
I think I've got to agree. Ant's brother is Wally of the week.
Fair play. Even Custis thinks he's a Wally, so.
Yeah. Custis is the biggest Wally. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Thank you for listening at home as well. Make sure you're subscribing on iTunes, Audio Boom, Spotify, all that jazz, and keep it locked to Full Time Devils. See you in a bit. Sports Social Podcast Network.